the pages of IHS Fan Magazine, the Austin area's premier high school football preview publication, and the creators of the Horn Webcast Network, powered by IHS Fan. Welcome to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Here are your hosts, Rick Epstein and Jeff Power.
Good evening, high school football fans. Welcome to show number 16 of season number 5 for Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Hey, we're Austin's longest-running show featuring local high school football. If you like Austin area high school football, this is your show for the next 3 weeks now. We invite you to join us for an hour of fun. My name is Rick Epstein. I am the publisher of IHS Fan Magazine, Austin's premier high school football preview magazine. Do me a favor, if you haven't already done so, take out your phone right now and follow us on Twitter at IHSFAN. That's at IHSFAN. We have a lot of great content, and just stay in touch with us because we've got a lot of information that you want to know about. While you have your phone out, download the Horn app. It's great stuff. It's free content, and during the season, we have a lot of football games that we cover play-by-play on the IHS Fan Webcast Network, and we also have a lot of basketball games coming up in January and February. We have 20 basketball games that we will be broadcasting, all for you, all for free. Just click on the link on the Horn app. There you go. I want to welcome my co-host since day number one, my good friend, Jeff Power. Jeff Power, we're down to the final eight.
Hey, I tell you what, we have some amazing matchups this week. I mean, highlighted by maybe Vandegrift, Westlake, of course, over at DKR, Texas Memorial Stadium. So many great games. Really, and the weather is cool. It's a great time to get out and enjoy some high school football.
Man, right here on site. And by the way, we're located, for the next hour, we'll be at Bush's Chicken, 9815 Brody Lane. Join us. It's a lot of people here eating chicken. What great chicken. And my good friend, Rodney Rodriguez, is joining us tonight. He'll be joining Jeff later on in the show. Rodney, you ready to go?
Man, great to be in South Awesome, as they call it.
I've never heard
South
that one
awesome.
Before.
Yeah.
And the man behind the glass got a new head coach at the University of Oklahoma. The pride of Oklahoma, Stephen Kabler, is back at the studio. Before we get started, I think I can speak for the entire Austin high school football community for sending our condolences to both the LBJ and the Maynard football communities. LBJ Coach Fenner's son, Cam Nelson, passed away on Tuesday of last week, and Maynard's Levante Benford passed away over the weekend. Both of these communities are really hurting right now, and you know, as a high school football community, we want to send our love to both those communities, and we want to say to you out there, please, please, hug the ones you love. Before we get to our first guest, let me tell you about the ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week. And each week at this time, we have our Team of the Week. This week, we'd like to recognize the LBJ Jaguars. Coach Jamal Fenner and the entire team had an emotional and heartbreaking week. The whole team had a great relationship with Coach Fenner's son, Cam. The team continued its impressive drive to Jerry World with another rout of a 4A D1 opponent. This time it was Bernie standing in the Jags' way, the result being a 68-24 win for the Jags. The Jags actually trailed 7-0 early before they exploded for 6 touchdowns to go into halftime up 42-10. LBJ quarterback Oscar Gordon threw for 6 touchdowns and 286 yards. Wide receiver Trent Leary had 8 catches for 182 yards and 3 touchdowns. In addition, Caleb Brown added 2 TD receptions. Both Kyron Miller and IHS Fan top 10 player Cedric Alexander both had over 100 yards rushing. LBJ heads back to the Alamo Dome to face 9-4 Fredericksburg. I believe they are the Battling Billies of Fredericksburg at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Congratulations to the LBJ Jaguars for being recognized as our ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week, and we have a great show tonight. We'll once again talk to some great guests, two head coaches, Lake Travis head coach Hank Carter, who I had a chance to meet up with earlier today. We'll also talk with Vandegrift wide receiver Reese Beecham. Dr. Putney will join us in our Ask a Doc segment, and we'll then get a chance to talk with Liberty Hill head coach Kent Walker. And let's actually just start it off right now. Let's head out to 620 to Cav Nation and talk with our good friend who I spoke with earlier today, Coach Hank Carter.
This is Rick Epstein with Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue. We're here talking with the head coach of the Lake Travis Cavaliers, Coach Hank Carter. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to be on with you.
Absolutely. Coach, you're playing Brennan, a tough team this week. What can the Cav Nation expect from the game this weekend?
Well, I think, obviously there's eight teams left, and so everybody's really, really good. That's the first thing. These guys have lost the game all year. When I look at them on film, I see a very complex offense with a great quarterback that throws it just as good as he can run it. They've got plenty of wide receivers. They've got running backs. And so, offensively, they're a very dangerous team, and they really score 50 points on just about everybody they've played. Defensively, they run a three down, and probably the strength of their defense is their linebacking core. They've got another outstanding defensive back as well. And, these guys have been a good program for a long time, and so they're not in any way foreign to having some success and making it this far. And so, it's going to be a battle.
Speaking of teams that have been successful for a long time, Lake Travis Cavaliers, I guess this is your 12th season at the helm of the Cavs. I think I just crunched some numbers. 147 wins against 20 losses. You're winning 88% of the games. I've asked you this numerous times over the years that you've been on with us. But, with that much success, and there was a lot of success pre-Hank Carter as well, but with that much success, what do you attribute that to, Coach?
I think it's just the culmination of several different factors coming together here. I think number one is our parents and our community. I think that they raise great kids. I think they're very involved in what's going on with their children, and I think that whatever the kids are interested in, our parents are supportive of that. So I think that's number one. I think we've had very talented players. I think that over the years we've been blessed to coach some just really outstanding kids that were just talented beyone the X's and O's. I think also the fact that we've kind of got three communities but one high school. We've got Spicewood, Bee Cave, and Lakeway, and all of them come together to support the Lake Travis Cavalier High School, whether that's the band, the football team, basketball, choir, you name it. And I think also we've been fortunate to be to keep some continuity within our staff, and it's guys that understand the expectations that are here. They understand what comes along with being at Lake Travis. It's from the standpoint of you're expected to win all the time. You make it to the quarters. That's kind of like, yeah, you should be. And just understanding what goes on with that. Again, it takes some unique personalities to want to kind of put away their ego, put their ego aside, and make it about the kids and make it about communicating with parents. So it's a lot of things, but it's certainly this is a great school district. I've never been a part of one that's better, and very proud of what we've done so far this year.
It's interesting, before I get on with our next question to Coach Hank Carter, the Lake Travis Cavaliers, it's interesting you're playing at Dripping Springs this week. Dripping Springs ISD, Lake Travis High School used to be in Dripping Springs ISD. Long, long ago, before Lake Travis ISD formed its own school district. Kind of like going home week. But, Coach, you mentioned a lot of the quarterbacks and a lot of the players that have played for you and Lake Travis in the past. You've got a Heisman Trophy winner. You've got many, many players in D1, many players on the professional level. I asked Bo Edmondson, who was on our show recently, I asked him what it was like to be in the next line of progression. I don't know how many quarterbacks in a row that Lake Travis has put into D1 schools, but Bo is such a great young man, having an incredible year, 2,638 yards passing, 32 touchdowns. What are your thoughts on Bo, who's a member of the IHS fan top 10 team, and also the pressure that comes along with being the Lake Travis quarterback?
Yeah, I think that obviously there's been a lot of great ones come before him. And, I think with Bo, he's got a unique mindset, a unique personality that really sets him apart. He's a great leader. He's a very vocal kid, and most kids these days are not vocal. Most of them would prefer to communicate via TikTok or whatever, Snapchat or however they're doing things. But Bo really is at ease communicating verbally with his teammates, with his coaches. And that's something that is really rare. So I think that sets him apart. He's got a great arm. He's a big, strong kid. And, I really think he's just all about ball. When I hear him in there with Coach Mangino, he's communicating with Coach Mangino just like he's an assistant coach from the standpoint of understanding what we're trying to get done. So he's a great player. I'm incredibly proud of him. And, obviously we're going to need him to play well to beat these guys on Saturday.
Absolutely. And, you know, we joked about this early in the season when we had you on Under the Lights about a phone call you received in the off season that said you might be receiving a young Caleb Burton on campus. And, boy, over the last several weeks, I think he's had seven touchdowns in the last four games alone. Caleb really coming along with so many others on your offense. Talk a little bit about your offense along with Derek Johnson, who had an astonishing, I think he had 211 yards in the first half last week in the big win. So talk about your offense and your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I'm pleased with how our offense is playing. I think it really starts with the way that our offensive line has come together. It's a deep group, probably deeper than we've had in many years. Those kids are playing at a high level, and that allows guys like Derek Johnson and Caleb Burton and Trinette Estes and Noah Bird and kind of our do-everything guy, Isaac Norris. Those kids have all, I think we go back to last week and we look at our catches. Most of those guys had the same number of catches, and it was spread throughout. And then, yeah, DJ had just a monster first half, and we let his work be done after the first half. But, yeah, I mean, I love the way that they're playing. Obviously, getting Caleb, Coach Burton coming over and working with our coach in our nickel position, we call it Rover. And having Caleb join us has been awesome. He's a great kid. I got an opportunity to coach against him there for 3 years, and then he comes over, him and Dad, and joined the program for his senior year. And he's really lit it up. Now, the last month to 6 weeks, he's been healthy, and he is just flying around. And again, he's been not only just an impressive player, he's just a great kid, gets along great. You know, never had a bad day, always has a smile on his face. And it's just, yeah, I love how our offense is playing. And I look forward to what they can do against a very tough Brennan defense.
Your defense, let's flip it on to the defensive side. Giving up just 13.3 points per game in the playoffs. I think I counted 16 different players have 25 or more tackles. Tavin Lewis with 102 tackles leads the way. And Max Linhoff with 9.5 sacks leads the way in that category. You gotta love your defense, especially the way they've been playing in the playoffs after they gave up a bunch in the Battle of the Lakes.
Yeah, I think we're playing our best defense right now, which is the way that we want it to be. I think it starts with our front. That's the group of kids that we feel like that we have the most experience. Trey Dorsett, Max Linhoff, a defensive end. Got a rotation there, a defensive tackle between Jaden Wynn, Griffin Willis, and Jacob Henry. Taven Lewis and Marcus Boswell have really anchored the linebacker position. We're getting, you know, we're hoping to get two guys back at the Rover position, Caden Davis and Jaden Walker this week. But, yeah, I think across the board, everybody's playing really, really well. That being said, this will probably be a unique test for us. It's going to be one of the best offenses we've seen all year long. And, you know, the stakes are the highest, right? I mean, it's win or go home. And so we're going to need to be at our best on Saturday.
You know, I've talked with you so many times over the years, and you do have high expectations at Lake Travis. You do expect to be where you're at right now. And so many teams might say that in August, but really it takes a different meaning at Lake Travis because you've been there so many times. But this is a new group, some of which this is their first experience on the varsity, some of your younger folks. But what is the thought process and what's going on in the locker room of saying, hey, guys, we've seen this before. We know what to expect under the bright lights of this far deep into the playoffs.
Well, I think a lot of it is our coaching staff has been preparing the kids for what things are like right now. I mean, it's just once you get to Thanksgiving and you're able to get past that weekend, again, there's eight teams. Out of those eight, somebody's going to win a state championship. And so the kids can really see the light at the end of the tunnel. I think, too, that they can really grasp the fact that, hey, at most we got nine football practices left in our Lake Travis, you know, for the seniors, our Lake Travis football lives. And so I just think that it brings a lot of clarity for them. And it's, you know, for high school kids, especially the boys, they don't have a lot of see the future and really grasp what's way, way down there. And so now that the light's closer and they can see it at the end of the tunnel, I think it helps bring about some more focus, but also understanding, you know, how much fun this is right now and how much we want to keep this thing going and the routine, how much they enjoy it. And what a great job even our scout team has done and how they've kind of settled in and have their own personalities and the coaches that are running those teams and the coaches that are running the special teams. And, you know, again, our message has been, let's keep this baby going. Let's make sure that it ends on our terms and let's make sure that it ends in AT&T Stadium.
Coach, before we let you go, you know, each year you wave goodbye to a bunch of seniors that you've had. You've probably known since they were in the sixth grade or even before in their youth football out there at Lake Travis. And then you say hello to a few new faces that come onto campus. What do you like the most about being head coach? And what is the thing that is the toughest for you?
Yeah, so the toughest for me certainly is when the seniors play their last game. And really, regardless how that season ends, you know, we want to win a state championship every year. And the years that we've done that, it's still sad from the standpoint of the seniors are no longer in our athletic period after Christmas. In the second semester, those guys get off campus or they pick up a class that they needed to get. And so there's just an abrupt change in their day-to-day and our day-to-day because we're no longer around them as much. We still see them in the weight room, and they'll be around campus. And, you know, a few weeks later, look up, and they've grown their hair out, or they finally have to wear a little weak mustache or whatever they've been wanting to do that I wouldn't have let them for the last few years. But it's sad seeing that they're really at a transition stage of their life, and they're going on to bigger and better things. But, you know, that, as a coach, that's tough because you're turning loose of 40 or 50 kids now and letting them out into the real world. One really cool part about it is, though, it's kind of a rebirth every year, too, because those seniors, those 45 or so guys are going to get out, and we're moving in another 45 or so freshmen into their athletic period. And then here we go again, and let's go start the journey and build it all up again. And so, yeah, I mean, it keeps us fresh. It makes it exciting because there's always new challenges and new kids, but it's tough to say bye to the seniors. And certainly after we have that banquet in January, you know, things are just different. And you see some of that really hit them. And again, they're kind of lost for a month or two. And, but you know, that's part of growing up. And, certainly part of that is preparing them and sending them out. But yeah, that's probably the toughest part.
Coach, it's always a pleasure to have you on our show, and we wish you only the best. You've been here before, so I just wish you the best of luck with you and your squad.
And we want to thank Coach Hank Carter of the Lake Travis Cavaliers, and they have been here many, many times. Hey, before we get to our Ask a Doc segment, let me tell you a little bit about Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Earlier today, I logged on to my Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscription to get some great info. I spent about 30 minutes going through all the info on the area teams and the games. The combo subscription is really amazing. For just $29.95 plus shipping and handling, you can purchase an annual subscription and get both of their print magazines each year and access to hundreds of premium articles and archives on their website, texasfootball.com. As a subscriber, you will be mailed both magazines directly to your house before they hit the newsstands. Hey, what a stocking stuffer this would make for the football fan in your life. It's just $29.95. What a value. Go to texasfootball.com. At the top left of the homepage, click on the Subscribe Now button.
It's time for Ask the Doc, presented by Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. Each week, we will visit with a doc to discuss a sports-related medical topic. Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas provides comprehensive orthopedics, including sports medicine, joint replacement, spine surgery, hand specialists, foot and ankle, and physical medicine and rehab. In addition, they offer same-day appointments and on-site imaging and physical therapy. Visit them at oactdocs.com. That's oactdocs.com.
And what a year we've had with Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. We've got another great topic tonight. Dr. Putney joins us. Dr. Putney, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Good to be with you guys. And as you were saying before, getting down to the end and the dynasties are continuing again. How exciting.
Exactly. We were talking about that earlier. It seems like each year, the teams that we think are going to be there are there. Dr. Putney, I think a lot of our listeners have either landed or stepped wrongly and injured their ankles, whether it's in sports or just being around the house. What should we be on the lookout for after a possible injury, and what are the best ways to treat an ankle injury?
The number one thing is obviously, all the common sense, the rice, you know, ice elevation, that kind of stuff. The biggest thing, even for an amateur person, is it sore below the ankle and around the soft tissues, which would be an ankle sprain? Or can you actually really touch the bone or see that it's obviously deformed or something? And then that would be a reason to be much more concerned.
And yeah, go ahead.
And then most times, especially for most ankle sprains, especially if it's your first one, most people are surprised. They can be painful for quite a long time. That's
yes.
The biggest thing. I see people, even 2 or 3 weeks, and they're like, "Doc, it's just a sprain." And truly the saying that sometimes sprains are worse than fractures, they can take a long time to get over. And requires some therapy and anti-inflammatories and a lot more than you think for a, quote, simple sprain.
Well, Dr. Putney, we really appreciate all the great info that you and your colleagues have provided us. We've got two more weeks. We've been on for 16 weeks with giving this great information. Thanks so much again for joining us on the Ask a Doc segment on Under the Lights.
It's my pleasure. And I, at the start of the year with all the COVID, I didn't know if we'd get this far. It's exciting that we're actually getting back to normal football.
You and me both, Dr. Putney. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Okay, guys.
Thanks to the fine doctors at Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. Now it's time for our Covert Ford Player Spotlight. For over 100 years, Covert Ford has delivered its commitments to excellence to Central Texas with the latest cars, trucks, and SUVs. Visit www.covertford.com today. And I'm driving my new Ford Bronco. I'm loving life. Thank you, Covert Ford, for that. I'd like to welcome to the show one of the area's best wide receivers and probably one of the most mispronounced names in the area, Reese Beauchamp. Welcome to Under the Lights.
Thank you for having me.
Reese, before we get too serious, how many times do the PA announcers mispronounce your last name?
I'd say probably every game, and it's probably said a different way. It's probably said a different way almost every game as well.
But not at home, right?
Not at home. Earlier today, the other shows were promoting the show, and I think they got a call from, or they got a text from your mom saying how to really pronounce the name. But let's get serious here. You lead the team with 54 receptions this year, 1,040 yards and 17 touchdowns. Oh, by the way, you've thrown for 3 touchdowns and have 477 return yards. What do you think, Reese, makes you such a good football player?
I just say my versatility. I've played multiple positions throughout my career in high school, and I played defense my sophomore and junior year. So I just have a lot of experience at different positions, and I feel like that's helped my game overall, and it just helps me to play multiple different positions throughout this season.
Reese, as a team, you guys have scored 128 points in the 3 playoff games. You're averaging almost 50 points per game if you calculate the entire season. Just thoughts in general about how well-balanced this Vandegrift football team is, the ability to run, to pass, to really keep the defense guessing.
Yeah, I mean, we have athletes all over the offensive side of the ball, and Coach Mauser does a great job of spreading the ball throughout the run game and the pass game. Shepard's an amazing running back, and Braden's an awesome quarterback, and we've got receivers all over the place, so it really helps us that we have a conservative game plan and we can throw it and run it, so it makes it tough on opposing defenses.
You know, you're no stranger to what's going on over at Westlake, which is going to be your opponent on Saturday down at DKR. They're 42-1 in the last 3 seasons. It's 2 straight 6A state championships. What are your thoughts, you and your fellow players in the locker room, on what it will take to beat Westlake?
Yeah, I mean, we know they're probably one of the most talented teams in the state, if not the country. They got dudes all over the place, and they're really well coached. So, I mean, we're just going in this week. We got to have amazing practices, amazing preparation. But we just got to play our game, and we're going to go out there and play our best. And we know we can compete with them, so we're just going to go out there and play our game.
Reese, shout out to Joe Taylor out there, the voice of Westlake football. He was telling me that the Chaparrals have outscored their opponents 251-10 in the first quarter. But I think the 10 is an amazing number. If you look at the entire season, they've only given up 10 points in that first quarter. Talk about just getting out and getting out to a good start, having some ball control. You know, the ability to run the ball against a team like Westlake is huge to give your defense a break as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like we started fast in pretty much all of our games this year, which has been a big boost for us. But getting the running game going and just getting on a consistent basis overall is a great start to the game, and it's going to be very important, especially against Westlake and their defense, which is very, very good.
Well, and let's not say Vandegrift has won since you've been a Vandegrift Viper. You've never not been a district champ. And you guys have been killing it the last several years. And we got a chance to talk with your coach, who is a really, really good friend of mine, Coach Drew Sanders. You know, t- tell us what it's like to play for him, because it seems I've often told people that, you know, my son played high school football about 6 years ago, and there's so many great coaches, but I said, man, I'd love my son to play for Coach Drew Sanders. What are your thoughts on playing for him?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, he's such a fun guy to be around. He makes it super fun for everyone, and he makes sure we're always disciplined. I think that's what makes us really good. And, you know, we don't always have the best athletes, you know, 4- and 5-star dudes, but he coaches us really well. And our four hallmarks are discipline, effort, toughness, and honor, and that's what they coach us on. So that's why we've been so successful the last since we've opened, pretty much.
Reese, hey, we've talked about your offense. We talked about Westlake's defense. Let's give a shout out to your defense. That game against Cibolo Steel, 38-0 shutout. That's amazing. What your defense has done all season long is nothing short of amazing. Give me your thoughts. You're only giving about 10 points a game, and you see them every day at practice. How good are they?
Yeah, they're amazing. They're playing really well right now, especially in that Steel game. We've played some tough offenses in the playoffs, some run-heavy offenses, which are tough to stop, but they've lived up to the challenge, and we've got players all over that side of the ball, and Coach Sanders does a great job of game planning for them. And I was a part of the defense, so I know kind of what goes on that side, and it's amazing what they've been doing, and it's really helping the team overall.
Well, the setting is DKR. What a setting it is. On Saturday, Westlake versus Vandegrift, Reese Beecham. Go get some touchdowns on Saturday. How does that sound?
Yes, sir. That's the plan.
All right. Thanks so much for being on Under the Lights. That was wide receiver Reese Beecham, and what a talent he is. And, hey, we talked a lot about Westlake. Westlake gets a lot of pub, and they deserve it. Two-time state champions, 42-1 in the last three seasons. But you know what? Vandegrift is right behind them their record.
Yeah, no doubt.
Come on.
You know, his last name, Beecham, very very fitting, because he's kind of a hang 10 kind of guy. He's got that laid back. And you know what? They don't want to show any nerves, man. Go in, just kind of play loose. You got nothing to lose. Go out there and show them what you can do.
You know what I was thinking on the way over? You remember Miracle, the movie about the 1980 USA hockey team against the Russians, right? And Herb Brooks' speech in the locker room. That's the speech I would give. You know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to beat us. But this is not today. Not today. So good luck to the Vandegrift Rifles. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with the head coach of the Liberty Hill Panthers, Coach Kent Walker. And we'll talk all sorts of playoff stuff. You're listening to The Horn, Under the Lights.
You're bringing us back Under the Lights. For Rick Epstein, I'm Jeff Power alongside Rodney Rodriguez now. And, hey, before we get to our next guest, Kent Walker at Liberty Hill, let me tell you real quickly about ACC, Austin Community College. Ever wonder where you'll be or what you'll be doing in a few years? You've got big dreams, but what you need is a plan. Austin Community College is a great place to get started on your future. Did you know you can take dual credit college classes at ACC while you're in high school? And those classes are free. Break up the boredom and get credits for your degree right now. Pretty smart. If you're still thinking about majors or your future career, check out austincc.edu. You can explore hundreds of options like robotics, graphic design, animation, history, film, programming, culinary arts, auto repair, you name it. ACC offers affordable university transfer programs and hands-on training at 11 different campuses. The new Highland campus is amazing. You got to see it to believe it. ACC students and graduates are doing big things, and you can too. Visit austincc.edu and get to work on that plan. Apply now and be ready to grab classes you need. That website again is austincc.edu. ACC, start here. Get there. All right, let's head up 183 and take a left on Highway 29 to Panther Nation to talk with head coach Kent Walker of Liberty Hill. Coach, first of all, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, you're playing after Thanksgiving. We were talking about that earlier. That's always a big deal. You know, Liberty Hill has been a perennial state power for years. In the last 5 years, the team is 53-14 and has won 79% of your games. What do you think is behind the success at Liberty Hill?
Oh, you know, great kids, great community, and our coaches have done an outstanding job as well.
How about, you know, last season was so very emotional for your family and the entire Panther Nation in such a time of sadness. The team on the field found a way to excel. Looking back on last season, how do you and your staff and the players respond? What were, you know, or maybe what were you most pleased with?
Oh, you know, the effort of the kids, you know, their ability to, you know, to overcome adversity. It was tough for all of us, obviously. You know, yesterday marked the year anniversary of my brother's passing. And so yesterday was extremely difficult. And I talked to the kids today and let them know that, you know, yesterday or today was one of the most difficult days that I've ever had, you know, a year ago today, having to walk in and tell the kids that their head coach had passed away. And, you know, but for the kids to, you know, to fight back and to understand what Coach Walker would want of them and to, you know, to just, you know, to continue to fight, you know, that's what our kids do. They have a lot of fight in them and they're extremely tough. And I couldn't be more proud of our kids. Last year's seniors and this group of seniors are extremely special to me.
Absolutely. Coach, Liberty Hill, so famous for running that old slot T that we hear about all the time. And I mean, these days, you see a lot of teams, they don't even huddle up anymore, and even fewer are running a slot T offense. Your thoughts on that offense, and why do you think more teams don't run it, given the success you all have had?
You know, we have the kids in Liberty Hill. They've bought into it. You know, it takes ultimate buy-in to be able to run the slot T. But the community has embraced it, and you know, and Coach Hall's done a great job this year, offensive coordinator and offensive staff, of continuing running the slot T, and it's just, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch if you ever get out to a game.
You know, four players have over 75 carries this season on your team. That's amazing. Super sophomore Noah Long leads the squad with 1,831 yards rushing and 26 touchdowns. What makes Noah such a great running back?
Oh, he's special. You know, he was on varsity last year as a freshman and got quite a few carries last year as a freshman. He was kind of our fourth back that went in if anything went down, at any position. So he knows the offense very well, and he's just he really is. He's a great running back. You know, he's got great vision and quickness, and for a sophomore, he's got really good speed as well.
So, Coach, Friday night, like we said, always a goal to be playing football in December. And here you guys are once again. You're heading to San Marcos, that beautiful facility over there at San Marcos High School, to play the Alamo Heights Mules. What can Panther Nation expect to see from that Alamo Heights team?
Oh, it's going to be a great game. You know, Alamo Heights is very well coached. They're a very disciplined football team. Coach Ritterman does a great job there. And I think it's only his second year, but he's done an outstanding job. And they're a very well coached football team. We're going to have to play our best game to come out of there with a victory.
Hey, Kent, one final thought. I got to ask you about the fake punt last week. Man, that was awesome. What a great call and such a pivotal part of the game. Talk about that. And what was the excitement like with the coaching staff and the players, for that matter, when that play kind of, basically just developed?
You know, we've been practicing it, obviously, since August. Coach Garza, our special teams coordinator, we talked about calling it earlier in the game, and we kept holding on to it. We've held on to it really all year. And finally I looked at him and said, it's time, let's go. And, you know, there was a lot. It was basically run to perfection. There may have been one little flaw on it if you go back and watch the video, but our kids executed it very well.
And, you know, hats off to Rouse. What a great season they had. They were right there with you guys for, you know, good three quarters. But y'all kind of found a way to pull away and get that victory. Do you think that in a way it has a lot to do with that pound, that running the football so much that kind of eventually wears that defense down on the other side in the fourth quarter?
No doubt about it. You know, Coach Mann does a great job at Rouse. But we, you know, we talk all the time about the fourth quarter. You know, we tell, you know, our kids think of it as it's a Panther quarter. And, you know, we train our weight rooms the same way. We train our weight room the same way. We try to wear them down to where that fourth quarter becomes our quarter.
Coach, I have to ask you, I mean, one of the things, I mean, high school football, it's all about community. And you guys out there in Liberty Hill, I mean, just the support, I mean, obviously the student body, but just the community of Liberty Hill, the way they embrace your football team. Talk about that. That really goes a long way helping these young kids out.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, when we leave town, there's signs everywhere. There's fans that line 29 all the way to 183. We get an escort out of town. We have the best football community there is. And I can't thank them enough for everything they've done for me, my family, and our football players and coaches.
Kent Walker, congratulations on what has been a great ride already this season, and good luck this week against Alamo Heights. We'll be watching. We're all excited about this matchup. It's a 5A D2 showdown. Where is it again? San Marcos, everybody. Go check it out. Saturday, correct?
Yes, sir. No, Friday night.
All right.
Friday night.
Friday night, 7 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Very good. Hey, Kent, thanks for being with us here on Under the Lights. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank y'all for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Liberty Hill head coach Kent Walker. When we come back, we're going to take a look at all the brackets. We're going to get you squared away for the big matchups here. I tell you what, we got a lot of teams still left here in Central Texas, a lot of good football in this area. We'll be back to talk about it here on Under the Lights in just a moment. A great big world full of really good high school football this time of year.
And I got to tell you, Jeff, so for us, we're Northerners. You know, we're up in the northern part of the territory over here. For us to be at 9815 Brody Lane, we're seeing how big this world is to get from north to south today.
I was going to say, we are south, but I got you. I now see what you're saying. You know, because we are from the north. You got it. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we got some big matchups. As we discussed, you know, let's start with LBJ, top-ranked team. They trounced Bernie last week, 68-24, third most points LBJ has ever scored in a playoff game. And, you know, do you know they beat Liberty Hill earlier this year? You might remember, 41-34. LBJ played a tough non-district schedule also that got them ready for district play, and now they are just rolling in the postseason as well.
Yeah, they're peaking. They're peaking at the right time, and to just watch the run that they've been on, and like Rick talked about before he left us, you know, with the unfortunate situation with Coach Finner, you know that the drive for those kids is even greater now, and they're only going to stop themselves, I think, at this point.
Well, they play undefeated Fredericksburg, the Batlin Billies. More on that in just a moment. But good to see a couple of local area teams still doing well in Class 4A, Division I right there. The Chaparrals, I tell you what. Westlake beat Far San Juan, Alamo North, 56-0. Shaps have scored over 50 in 7 of their last 9 playoff games. 19th shutout in last 4 seasons. You know, one of the keys, we haven't talked about him much, but about midseason, Jack Kaiser, he kind of had the big game against Mansfield Summit, had 400 total yards versus Lake Travis, 100 receiving, 100 rushing, over 100 on kickoff return, just doing a little bit of everything. Tell you what, man, they have really gotten a lot from him and a lot from just what they've been able to do offensively, but that defense is just stellar.
Absolutely. I mean, the offense gets all the glory. You know, that's just the way it is, it seems like. But this defense is exceptional. And I really thought, Jeff, that this year may be the year that Valley Week was going to be a little tougher. But they just rolled. I mean, they just rolled right there past Far San Juan, Alamo North. And again, just like LBJ, I mean, they're peaking right now.
And you know what? PSJA North actually was able to run the football well before this game.
Before this game.
But not
absolutely
so much in this one. I think less than 100 yards in the entire game in this one. Of course, Vandegrift beat Edinburgh Vela 38-14. The Vipers' fourth trip to the fourth round. And obviously, Vandegrift's been on a roll as well. I see a lot of similarity between Vandegrift and Lake Travis out there. And, of course, Vandegrift now with a tough test coming up against Westlake.
Yeah, we'll talk about that matchup here in just a little bit over at DKR, but it really is a great example right there of Vandegrift where they've come in, and when the season started, I know we talked about it on the webcast network so many times where we thought, well, maybe Vandy was going to be a little bit off this year. Maybe somebody was going to come knock them off the perch, but it was still here they are in a playoff run again, it's a one impressive win after another.
Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Bowie High School, right down the road from where we're
right
at right here.
That's right.
What a great season they had. They did fall to Brennan this past week, 59-36. They were able to put up 36 points in that game. You know, the most points maybe they've allowed in a playoff loss, but what a season Jeff Abels and the Bowie Bulldogs had this year.
Yeah, what can you say about Coach Abels, man? He just keeps coming back for more. That's a very experienced staff right there. Mm-hmm. And I know at one point during the year, facilities were being renovated, and they were having to go over to Burger. They were the Burger Bowie Bulldogs, the Burger Bulldogs, I think.
Yeah.
And for them to have a great run like that. But again, you come out of the gauntlet of 26-6A, and you're going to be ready when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you know, you think about Tommy Cox and now Jeff Abels, they pretty much made up the last 40-plus years of coaching over there at Bowie.
Yeah.
Lake Travis, 35-9 over Laredo United South, 35-19. DJ Johnson rushed for 211 yards and three touchdowns in the first half alone. And Lake Travis, as usual, this time of year, just kind of clicking on all cylinders. Coach Hank Carter told Rick earlier he really likes what they're doing defensively, too, right now.
Yeah, that's a very stout team right there. And the defense, again, like we talk about Westlake, those two programs get all of the – we talk about all the quarterbacks and everybody that's cycled through there, you know, the specialty players, but it really has been the defense for both of those programs this year that have very quietly put them right here on the verge of state championships again.
We mentioned the Liberty Hill win over Rouse, 56-33, Liberty Hill's 11th trip to the fourth round. Of course, the Panthers also scored 56 last year in their win against Rouse. They've just got an offense that's hard to handle. And, yeah. You know, in this time of year, you know, I love how they come out of that huddle and just sprint to the line of scrimmage and snap it. I mean, there is no – that's like 2 seconds go by in that process.
It's old school to watch them do that. And even in the loss right there, you got to give a lot of love to Josh Manning Rouse. I mean, mm-hmm. What a great job he has done with that program. It wasn't that long ago they were struggling, but he's got that thing turned around, and they're a perennial power each and every year.
Katie Pato there with a big win over Cedar Park this past week, 65-14. I was talking to some folks in the Houston area earlier today, and they were saying, you know, Pato is one of those schools that's getting a lot of those players that they kind of run the same offense that the Katy Tigers runs, kind of smash mouth. Hey, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And you see your brother doing it, why not do it yourself, right?
Right. Yeah, and for Pato to win there over Cedar Park, obviously not the Cedar Park teams of the past that we've watched, but then again, you a big shout out there to Cedar Park as well, because they kind of looked dead to rights here at one point not too long ago. But good run for them. Good run for them, and they'll reload. They'll just reload.
And Coach Quintero, great job this year back with Cedar Park after being an assistant coach there for a long time back in the day. Alamo Heights with the win over Marble Falls, 10-7, low-scoring game. Marble Falls tied the game with 4 minutes to play and then lost on a last-second field goal. Marble Falls with a great season this year. And we talked about Alamo Heights a little bit earlier. And, of course, they've got the big matchup with Liberty Hill.
Kind of cool to see a defensive struggle every now and then. And I'll tell you, it's unheard of these days when we talk about slot tees and all of these different things that folks don't do. Low-scoring ball games like that are not seen very often anymore.
So let's touch on that. Liberty Hill, 10-2. Alamo Heights, 13-0. 7 o'clock Friday night, San Marcos' Bobcat Stadium. That'll be fun.
That's right, and I misspoke. I said over at Rattler.
It's in San Marcos. Yeah, we got you.
Still a great stadium.
if you go to the high school, just you know, give yourself 10 more minutes and run over to Bobcat
Go back
Stadium.
The other way, yeah. I think that's going to be a tremendous matchup right there. I'm looking forward to see how that one all shakes out. You've got something's got to give there. Something's got to give is what you have between those two programs. They're going to be coached up. They're going to be ready to go. And that's going to be some good Texas high school football right there.
You want to hear a funny stat?
Yep.
Liberty Hill averaging 389 yards rushing per game, 14 yards passing per game. Over 400 yards of offense, and almost all of it is on the ground. Hey, that's what they do, man. But occasionally when they go to the air, look out.
Yeah, and still nobody can stop them. That's a
all
crazy
right,
part.
Let's talk about this Vandegrift matchup with Westlake. I mean, you've got 12-1 Vandegrift. Maybe the best Vandegrift team that we've had. And I'm already going to say it. I think this is the best Westlake team that I've seen. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not going to go all the way back to maybe 96. I didn't cover that team that Drew Brees won a state title with when they beat Abilene Cooper. But I'm telling you what, man, this Westlake football team's loaded. Vandegrift's going to have to play a nearly perfect game. Thoughts?
Yep. Yeah, they really are. And listening to Reese Beecham a while ago, I think if Vandy is taking the mindset that I heard from him, I mean, he's very laid back, he's relaxed, they know the task in front of them, they know the juggernaut that is Westlake, they know everything about that, they know about state championships and all of that, but you just come in, you play your game, and you can't make mistakes. And that's something that we talked about there. You're going to have to have a fast start. You can't spot Westlake 14, 17, 21 points. If you do that, it's uphill sledding the entire way, and they are not going to take their foot off the gas.
You know, Westlake needs 3 points to break the offensive point total they set just a couple years ago in 2019, that being 756 would be the record. They're averaging 60 points per game. By the way, Ethan Burke, he committed to Michigan. He was up there this past week. I heard he wanted to play lacrosse, but the defensive end now – going to stick with football. It's been pretty good for him.
Yeah, yeah, it has. And you know what I really like about this game, Jeff, is that this really solidifies the Austin area when it comes to perennial high school powers. Obviously, Westlake is there. Vandy's a newer school, but now they're into this as well. We're so deep in here to the Final Eight, and here we are with a marquee game at DKR, and it's Westlake and another school out of the Austin proper, if we want to call it that, with Vandegrift. But this is like a city championship mm-hmm. right here. Here we are in round four, and you're going to crown a city champion right here.
Well, and, you know, technically they are in Austin, even though it's Leander ISD. They're in Austin as far as their address. Hey, how about Lake Travis playing Brennan? I like this matchup here for Lake Travis. You know, Hank Carter talked earlier with Rick, and he likes what he's seeing from his team. You know, they learned a lot from that game against Westlake, and he feels like now – they're clicking when they need to be.
They really have, and there's a lot of folks that are stepping. I did round one against Cedar Ridge, and you see a lot of kids that are making big plays for Westlake, and that's, you know, something that we talk about all the time right here. You know, Coach mentioned it. You and I were and Rick were talking about it before we ever started the show tonight. When you're the one school in the ISD right there, you've got guys that are going to jump in. They know the system, and you're watching Lake Travis right now. They're gelling as a team, and it does seem. After that loss to Westlake, you know, they say every now and then that a loss can be humbling and can be good. I'm definitely seeing a lot of positives because this is a different Lake Travis team that came out of that loss, and they're poised as well.
And the numbers are very similar for these two teams. Brennan averaging 211 yards rushing per game, Lake Travis 208. Passing yards, 272 for Brennan, 232 for Lake Travis. That's 483 to 441, extremely similar. Both teams around the same point total per game, about 45, 46 points per game. I think, you know, Brennan might be one of the best teams coming out of San Antonio, them in Alamo Heights. But, you know, I think this time of year we're kind of used to Lake Travis and Westlake moving on.
And I think, obviously, the Vandy-Westlake game is grabbing all the local headlines because it is. It's the two local teams. But I think when you really weigh all of this out and when we get on the field this weekend and start playing these games, I think this Lake Travis-Brennan game may be the marquee game of the week, you know, between the two of them. I think that this is one that this is going to come down to the wire right here because they're going to go toe-to-toe, and there's going to be a lot of back and forth. They may light up the scoreboard. Maybe they won't. So this is going to be a fascinating watch right here with the Brennan and Cavalier game.
And finally, 4A D1 again, LBJ, Fredericksburg, and, you know, Jamal Fenner loses his son this past week. Just a total tragedy. And you know, I think back to some of the LBJ teams that have made deep runs, and it seems like they've had – some sort of personal tragedy along the way, but it seems to bring this team closer together. They kind of find a way to play for each other. And LBJ is sort of that team that's been number one all year long.
Yeah, and we talk about the challenges of AISD, and LBJ has been, you know, the flag bearer for AISD. And here they are in a position where they seem poised to be at AT&T Stadium to finish this thing off. And I do love this for AISD. You know, we can talk about the Reagan programs of old and, you know, the glory years of LBJ and all of these. But to see LBJ on a path right now that I see them playing at AT&T Stadium. Fredericksburg is going to be a good matchup for them, but with that extra little sad part, Jeff, I think that this LBJ team, they're going to march this thing all the way to Arlington.
I think so, too. Who knows? They might even play Stephenville in the final. That would be awesome. All right, for everyone who was a part of this one, including Rodney Rodriguez right here, for Rick Epstein, my name is Jeff Power. Special thanks to all of our guests tonight, Hank Carter, the head coach over at Lake Travis, Reese Beecham over at Vandegrift, the wide receiver, Liberty Hill head coach Kent Walker, Dr. Putney joining us as well, and again, for my co-host, Rick Epstein, I'm Jeff Power. Stephen Kalber, thank you for pushing all the right buttons behind the scenes. Under the lights, I'm Jeff Power. We'll catch you next Wednesday, same time here on 104.9 The Horn, 7 p.m. We'll see you then to break it all down.